This is episode number 73 of the Noise Cancelling Podcast. I'm trying to sound more authoritative this week by making myself sound like a 1970s newscaster. I feel like I have failed. Let's meet the team. Who's with me this week?
Hey, I'm Sherielle Smith, editor-in-chief of Laptop Mag.
I'm Adam Fajestica, senior gaming writer at TechRadar.
I'm Samuel Roberts, senior entertainment editor at TechRadar.
I'm Gareth Beavis, global editor-in-chief of TechRadar. That was good. I think we really nailed the intro. I think everyone's done very well. We should be all very proud. Hello, Sam. Hello, Adam. Nice to have you here.
Oh, you know, what a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much, Gareth.
I am also excited.
I felt like you can tell that we've had repeat guests on where they're like, yeah, I've got it. I understand now. Let's get on to the big question, which this week is, how do we put this? The year's been weird, as we know. Year and a half has been weird. And cinema has obviously struggled the most with one of the industries that's really been hit by the COVID pandemic, but Black Widow came out this week, and it was the first time we've seen really a dual release at home and at the cinema. And you could basically either go to the cinema, and in lots of places it's very safe to do so, or you could pay $30 or, you know, the equivalent in your country and watch it at home, which is the first litmus test for this. And Samuel, it seemed to do pretty well in the home office, didn't it?
It did, yes. So it made over 60 million kind of like revenue for Disney over the by selling it through Premier Access on Disney Plus, which seems pretty good. Some box office observers think that quite a big drop off that occurred from the Friday to the Saturday and the Sunday happened because people had this option from home. So it definitely seems like it comes with some kind of cost for box office and cinemas and theatres. But overall, yeah, it seems like it's been a big success.
Yeah, which is a bad thing, really, if you like the cinema. But hey. So it leads us on to the big question, which, if you could pay $30 to not do something and do it at home, what would you do? That's $30. Cherie, dollars are your official currency, so you know this best.
That would be tech support for my family, Alex.
How bad is it?
It's not bad, but like when I go home, like I really don't want to talk about work. That like sometimes you just want to leave the office at home. So then when I travel and do this 2-hour trip on the train, it's like, oh well, could you help me set up my phone? Please don't ask me that. Please, like.
Maybe you have it too much, but I still, you know, even after all this time, I still love when I'm asked to do something like that. Because I'm like, finally. So useful to people. I feel like I can do something good. Adam, what about you?
To be honest, one of the most regular trips I've been taking outside of the home since the pandemic began is going to see the chiropractor, which socializing has been nice, and it's nice to feel the touch of another human being again. But that's something I would definitely pay to be done at home. I don't know how it works. You need one of those fancy tables, and obviously you would need someone to know how to manipulate the spine just right, which they do. But maybe a little robot could come in and just pummel away at me when my back hurts, which is all the time.
I mean, have you Googled at home chiropractor?
But I wouldn't want it just to be the standard one. I would want it a little bit, you make it a bit more special if I was going to have it in my own home. Like I said, a robot or something would really feel good.
If anything, $30 is a pretty good value for an at-home chiropractor robot.
It's a very good, very good value. And my next business idea.
I just Googled at-home chiropractor, and all the results are how to crack your own back without a chiropractor. And I was like, no, don't do that.
I can crack my own back, but I have been advised to stop doing it. But it's so good when you do it.
Sounds like, isn't that what basically happens in The Dark Knight Rises when, like, Tom Conti just thumps Christian Bale in the spine to sort him out?
Maybe Christian Bale could come round for $30 and punch me in the spine.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that it's considered alternative medicine, isn't it? So it's kind of like, you know, you can build a robot to do it. You only have to get a license.
Very true. See, we're onto something.
Yeah, there you are. Sammy, what about you?
So I think that movies really are the way to go with this for the time being. I didn't go and see A Quiet Place Part 2 because I'm still not fully vaccinated, so that came to mind. But also I think that No Time to Die is coming out in September, I think. I should know this, as given my job title, but I have forgotten because it's moved so many times on the schedule. And I think that paying for James Bond at home would be fine by me. $30 would be a good exchange, so I don't feel like I have to go to a cinema and keep my mask on to watch a film.
But I understand the immediacy of like wanting to be part of the conversation, but you get it at home eventually anyway. So I just go like, well, I can just wait and save money and get the same experience. Just, yeah, especially with James Bond, where it's time shifted around the year so much anyway. Who gives a shit?
Well, it's about, you know, being there at the moment and seeing it you know, seeing the big thing when everyone else is seeing it, that kind of fear of missing out factor, which I think, you know, would motivate the purchase. I take your point, though. I think that for a lot of people, they probably do feel like they can skip Black Widow and wait until October 6th, I think it is, which is when you can just watch it generally on Disney Plus. $30 is quite a lot of money to watch a film, so I understand if people do that.
Yeah, exactly. And especially if in the olden days, when there was about 3 films a year, it felt like, this made more sense. But now there's about 4 million a day, but who cares?
I think as well, what I've noticed a couple of times when I went to the cinema before everything got shut down was, I actually think my TV at home is better than quite a few cinema displays. Like having a really good TV now and a nice setup actually makes the cinema less appealing to me, because I have gone in a few times and been like, that's it's a softer image than I'm used to, not as good contrast ratios from an OLED. I know, I'm one of those people now, but it's true.
I pity you and your generation.
But it's the right way to be. And real quick to this, to the big question, I have one more. Since I am newly single, or kind of newly single, I would like, if I could pay $30 to someone to go through all the hassles of online dating for me, from screening the people on the apps to doing that awkward first date, that would be worth its price in gold.
I mean, the first dates are the best bit. What are you on about? Yeah, I definitely think, again, we're talking bots. You could definitely do a bot of like, can this person hold a conversation for more than 3 days and not say something weird? That'd be a good screening.
Yes.
I would fail that screening.
Yeah. Sure, yeah, exactly. Like, the magic is lost, though, with that. Robots are rubbish. Well, my answer is, I feel my answer is really boring now, because I feel like I don't have to run every day, but I sort of got lost in this compulsion to do so. And there's some days I can't really be bothered, but I know if I don't, then I'll lose, you know, that kind of high level of fitness so I can do the fun ones. So I could do like just paying £30 or $30 just to be like, okay, I've got the fitness for that and I don't have to do anything. Much easier. I'd have to leave the house. It'd be nice. It's just such a chore sometimes. And I appreciate that it's such a, you don't have to do this, Gareth, shut up. But it annoys me a lot. Just having to run when you don't have to run. That's the problem.
Yeah, the idea of running being fun is just conceptually beyond me as a human being. But I respect your you know, your honesty.
When you get like regular enough at it and you get fit enough to actually be able to do different kinds of runs, there are some that are fun. Like if you're in a good place and you can just really run really, really fast and it doesn't hurt like instant, it's quite nice. But it's a lot of effort to get there.
I empathize with the kind of like ritualistic aspect of it, because I use an exercise bike, and if I break a day, I feel like I've sort of failed myself a little bit. So I totally understand. But that said, I use an exercise bike so I can watch TV while I'm exercising, which means that we're completely different types of people, Gareth.
No, not at all. I mean, I partly run just to get through my podcast. You know, it just keeps me up to date with all these kind of things. So then I make my own one and then never listen to it because I haven't got time. Cool. Well, I'm going to give the points to Cherie because she went X Factor and did the sob story. So...
I did think that Cherie's was leading to some kind of, if I could pay $30 and have the perfect robot partner. I did think that's where it was originally going.
No, no, no. It's all, as I love to say, it's all good until a sex bot chokes a senator.
I could introduce you to a very nice robot chiropractor, I know. He's single as well.
No, no, thank you.
And he's rich. Well, he's not actually. $30 is nothing.
Yeah. He's not rich yet.
I regret taking us down this path. Let's continue.
And also, you've got the perfect robot partner. You've got the Furby. So.
Oh God!
Anyway, so the Gadget Hall of Fame. Now, I always like these ones where we've had guests who have both already entered and survived the Gadget Hall of Fame. We put a Mega Drive and a Game Boy SP in there already from Adam and Sam, respectively. So this week it's a versus. There, even though I know that the hangar is fucking massive and there's loads of space for both of you, I don't want both of you in there. One of you's going in the skip, and one of you's going on the hall. So which one of you is going to succeed? Adam, pitch me first.
I'm trying to think if this is a gadget or not, because I just recently got it. And it's terrible, but I actually love it.
Setting is half the job here, okay? So rethink what you're pitching.
Okay.
Maybe believe in it.
I'm gonna say a gadget. Okay, I completely believe in this product. The Magic 8-Ball, right?
Oh!
Are you indecisive like I am? Do you sometimes just want a clear yes or no answer? Well, now you can, thanks to the Magic 8-Ball, which has been around since the 50s, I believe. Now, when I first got it, I mean, the screen on it is like not even... If you think a backlit, non-backlit Game Boy is bad, this is just shocking. Like, you have to literally position it in a certain way to even see what it's telling you. But the more I use it, and the fact that it seems to align with my inner beliefs, makes it a really strong contender as like one of the best things I own right now. Whether it's dinner, whether it's what I should do, Whether it's just simple futuristic questions that me and my girlfriend want to know, such as, will we get married? And it said, ask again another time, which was a great answer from the eight ball to get me out of that one. But yeah.
Big question. Who asked that question to it?
I think it was me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it was me. I took the risk. Yeah.
This seems very much like an episode out of Rocco's Modern Life when Mr. Big Head was working his way up the corporate ranks by way of Magic 8 Ball.
Awesome. I need to see that episode. But honestly, it fits into your life. It's not very portable, but you could probably take it wherever you want to go. And as long as you're not asking it really, really, you know, consequential decisions which could get you in trouble and stuff, I think it's a great tool for navigating the wavy waters like it's life.
No, I think unless you're going to do it the whole way, you don't deserve it.
Live by it, die by it.
Yeah, exactly. Literally, yeah. All right, Samuel, I won't lie. It's not going to be a hard one to beat. So this does have batteries or electricity. That's going to be a real win for it.
It does, yes. Yeah, I mean, you kept saying screen, Adam, but don't you mean like just like the object that's inside the eight ball as opposed to like...
Well, the viewfinder or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's weird.
You could have said it looks like an echo. That would have probably helped.
Well, I will accept that is borderline technology. So I was going to maybe suggest the iPod Nano fourth generation because that was like the most... I enjoyed owning one of the old press the buttons... sort of iPods. I have good memories of like watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on the kind of on this one. Like I think it's one of the first ones with the widescreen. Yeah, I say widescreen. It's like, you know, a tiny screen. But tilting it sideways and watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on there, that's a good memory. And I was very fond of the form factor of this. So I kind of like missed the sort of just the feeling of pressing the buttons and the shape of it in my hand. I thought it was just probably the Apple device I've enjoyed owning the most. So I don't know if that's too good to be a gadget for this feature, Gareth. Should I pick something else like a Tamagotchi or something?
That's what I was going to go for.
Yeah, I mean it is brilliant. I mean you're right, the tactility. My partner, we found her one the other day. I got it straight out, charged it back up again. Turned it on, you know, did the whole thing. I'd forgotten about the fact you can watch video on it. And the fact that form factor allowed you to do so, I think, is, you know, it was niche, but it was genius. You know, I think it was one of the greatest gadgets of all time. But I'm going to let the Magic 8 Ball decide whether it wins or not.
Let's go.
Okay, so should the Magic 8 Ball get into the Hall of Fame?
Come
That's the question.
Magic 8 Ball, you've not let me down.
This is pure chaos.
What has happened?
Outlook good.
Let's see it.
Because I've turned it, it's disappeared. It was Outlook good, though, I promise. Let me go again. Yes, a straight yes.
Let me see.
See it?
Oh, it says yes.
Oh, the eight ball's beaten the Nano.
Really?
A completely fair fight.
The greatest gadget of all time, one of them, is now in the bin, next to Swider's headphones and that broken jawbone. I'm
delighted.
Finally, real justice has been done.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're talking about screens and lack thereof. This week, we're going to talk about... Well, if this happened actually last week, but it happened too late for us to properly bring it into the podcast. But the Nintendo Switch OLED model has arrived. I mean, last week it was the big question of the worst name of something of all time. I think that's pretty fair. You chuck model at the end of something, it's like named by, again, the chiropractor robot. But before we get into that, I think we should talk a little bit more around Nintendo as it started. As we all know, back in the beginning, playing cards was where it first started back in the 1800s. It's done lots of things. It's done love hotels in Japan in the past, you know, so you can go and do that. You can describe that as you will. But the consoles that it's done, I mean, would you say that Nintendo has had the biggest impact in the console market? Is that fair? Or is it Sony, Adam?
I'd say Nintendo, just for the fact that they were, you could say, wholly responsible for kind of saving the console market, especially during the big video game crash that took place in America. They kind of just restored that consumer trust, which was really needed. To remember the Nintendo seal of approval, which I think is still going.
I don't think that calculator app on the Nintendo Switch got one, Adam.
Well, no, definitely not. It's questionable now, but yeah, so I definitely think that they, you know, took it in the direction it needed to go. While Sony, you know, for all the brilliance that they have done, I definitely give props to Nintendo for keeping the console space alive. And as we see time and time again, whether it works or not for them, they always try and innovate. They try and do something new. And you got to love them for that.
Just to give readers or listeners the context, sorry, of you know, they called it the video game crash of, well, the year I was born, 1983, where there's just too much out there. There are too many different developers trying to make lots of different games, lots of different things. Atari was a thing, had Commodores, had all this kind of stuff, but nothing really captured the market in terms of a thing that you put under your TV, you can play games, it's universal. And then Nintendo made what was, well, the Famicom, I believe, in Japan, because it was like the family console or computer, and then just called it the, well, in England, it was the Nintendo Entertainment System, the NES. I think it was the same in America.
Yep.
And it was just wholly different. You know, it had these really blocky controllers, had Super Mario, Tetris, like, I mean, like, it was exactly of my time, and it just so visceral, the memories of like how good it was. I wanted it so much, I got it, and it was equally as good as I thought it'd be. Nothing's ever matched up.
The key thing is, I think, that Nintendo, the kind of like path of its, the trajectory of its hardware and its software are just so aligned in a way that it's not the case with PlayStation or Xbox in the same way. Like, they build games for the hardware in such a specific way. And sometimes that, like, manifests in really strong ways, like Wii Sports and the Wii, for example. And other times it doesn't, but there's definitely, like, a kind of a commonality between the two. Like, Nintendo is all about making software that gets the most out of the hardware.
And Cherie, did you ever own any of the Nintendo consoles?
Absolutely. I own from the original NES to
NES.
To the GameCube. I was all Nintendo. The Wii came along, and I was just like, no, I had to tap out for a while. The Wii and the Wii U, I was just like, no, this is dead to me. They weren't like, by that time, I was a angsty 20-year-old, and I needed games that reflected my mature status in the world, and Nintendo was not giving me that, so I jumped fully on the PlayStation and Dreamcast bandwagon for however short that was, and I was Sony all the way, then Xbox, so then I was Sony Xbox, and now the Switch came along, and now I am back to being fully console agnostic.
I think what's really interesting there is, you know, in my youth, there was this real Nintendo Sega divide. It was either Mega Drive / Genesis versus, well, the Nintendo or the SNES. And you were really one side or the other of this mega divide. And it was wonderful, to, like, you know, as a child, to have this kind of tribalism and stuff. But then you had the Game Boy that sat as a sort of like subgenre that was also fighting as well. And you just had two different ways of playing consoles. And I think that's what was amazing.
Well, number one, I didn't have to subscribe to that tribalism because I had a little brother. So I got all the Nintendo stuff, he got all the Sega stuff, and then we would split the off-brand stuff or like the Neo Geo and the TurboGrafx-16.
Nice.
When you say split it, do you mean like force the other person to use it, or?
One would get one, the other would get the other. Like, that way we had everything in the house.
Okay, well, that's a smart way to be if your parents, you know, don't make it a problem, just get everything. I mean, nice and easy. But I feel like Nintendo, Samuel, you'll probably agree with me, peaked with the N64.
Well, I don't actually agree with that, no. I think that in terms of, like, cultural impact of games on me as a kid, that was, like, a massive moment for Nintendo, because even though it was never, like, the dominant selling console in either the West or Japan, the N64 did seem to be something that all of my friends owned. Like, everyone had GoldenEye, seemingly. I didn't own an N64 at the time. My parents refused to buy me an N64 because they said you can play everything on PC, which, you know.
The lie detector said that was a lie.
Yeah.
And also, look how it influenced your career.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
you ended up in PC Gamer. So, you know, essentially, they gave you a future. So thank you, Samuel.
I think that Nintendo is kind of at a peak now. I mean, the Switch is a great console. Like, there's still loads of stuff that Nintendo does wrong in terms of, like, its digital storefront and the fact that it doesn't curate in the way that, you know, it used to, and out of that kind of market crash that we talked about. Like, in that way, Nintendo is quite different. But the actual, like, quality of the software it's making, and, like, the actual, and how good the hardware is, this is, like, one of the best moments in history for Nintendo. But I love the N64 too. I thought that was a great console.
I've told this story loads of times on the podcast, but that was one of the console that was, yeah, the Christmas where that was coming out and everyone was getting one. All my friends were getting one, same as you. I really, really wanted one. My parents told me, absolutely not. You're not getting one. It's not happening. But all my friends were really into it, decide what games they're going to buy. So I really wanted to just be involved in it. So I bought a magazine, the N64 magazine, just because I was like, they bought it. And they found it. And I got in so much trouble because they're like, you're not getting one. You're giving your sister the wrong ideas. She's going to be really sad. And then they bought me one. And I was like, really? It was like properly like breaking up with someone so you can make the proposal that much more surprising kind of level of flip reverse.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite a confusing time, and I got an N64 out of it, so I was pretty happy. But it's put a lot of pressure on me to always think about like how to master the art of surprise now, because I don't think anything can top that.
Maybe they thought, oh shit, he's waging an information war. We've got to escalate this and buy him an N64. Like perhaps it was that kind of like mind game stuff, you know?
I mean, if it was and I won, then I'm pretty proud of myself.
Congratulations, Gareth.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I did get Wave Race as the game though, which none of my friends had, but. You know, and I felt really bad about that. But then I also played it the other day because I just had this nostalgia for it. It came within 1/10 of a second of my younger version's time within about an hour. So I was like, oh, I still got it.
Incredible.
But I feel like I said about the Game Boy, you know, we mentioned the Wii there with Nintendo. Do you not think that was the point when Nintendo said, right, there's a place in the market for and. So you can have a PlayStation and a Nintendo. You can have an Xbox and a Nintendo because you got a Wii because you want to play Wii Sports and all that kind of shit. And then you did proper gaming on a Sony or a Microsoft console.
Oh, it kind of breaks off at a certain point where I think that is the point where obviously the hardware, the kind of internal sort of specs of the Wii were kind of similar to the GameCube. It was the motion control that was the big differentiating factor, which, like you suggest, that allowed Nintendo to launch it at quite a low price point that meant that you could buy an Xbox 360 and buy a Wii, and like that wasn't unreasonable. And that's when Nintendo stops competing with Sony and Microsoft when it comes to graphics as well. So yeah, that's definitely like a key turning point. I think they got the pitch of the Wii slightly wrong in the long term in terms of like chasing this sort of like living room audience who were kind of only had a short burn interest in games, and I would argue moved on to like mobile platforms. Not in all cases, but in some cases. But yeah, for sure, that was definitely a moment that it diverged, and you could see people owning both sets of consoles.
I mean, Wii Fit was genius. Like, that kind of level of accessory that people were like, yeah, get a Wii Fit board. I mean, everyone had one and died, but it's still a great idea.
Managed to sell ridiculously well, even if people just wanted to try it or feel like it was the next thing, the fitness, Wii Sports, or an FPS game. And yeah, the Wii and Nintendo DS in particular signified when Nintendo was kind of like, look, we can't compete on a hardware level with Sony and particularly not Microsoft now that they're involved. Let's, you know, carve our own path and see if we can get into blue waters, as they call it, and get away from the red waters, red ocean strategy, where, because they can't compete, basically. If Nintendo, as much as people would love to see it, as much as I would love to see it, if Nintendo came out with a similar spec piece of hardware like a PS5, they know deep down that they're in a losing battle, because Sony could always, at any point, go, we're knocking $100 off, we're knocking $50 off, and Nintendo can't do that. And Nintendo's main objective is to put smiles on people's faces. That is their mission statement. And I think they have really succeeded in that since the Wii. I mean, I absolutely adore the N64 and the GameCube. I even lied to get my N64 for many months, which I'll get into. But yeah.
Get into it now. I want to find out why.
Get into it now. So the N64, I was very much like Sam. All my friends had one. I didn't have one. I had a PlayStation, a crusty old PlayStation 1, which was great, but it's not what I wanted. I always wanted an N64. And I remember going to Woolworths, which has now been destroyed, and I managed to convince my mum to get us one. We said, look, well, you know, this can be five. The thing every child does, it'll be my 5 birthday presents and 5 Christmases or whatever. And we picked up the box because they used to have the cardboard boxes there, took it to their account, and they were like, sorry, sold out. So many months went by, and basically what happened was my dad always wanted me to start drama school at high school because I played a fantastic Fagin. In my year 6 play in primary school, apparently I was the best Fagin he'd ever seen, and he really wanted me to do drama school.
Well, when you say the best he'd ever seen, like how many had he seen?
0. I was the only one he'd ever seen. My dad doesn't go around like critiquing Oliver Twist, you know, productions.
Well, but, that's how it sounded.
Well, this is how he pitched it to me. So he was like, look, I want you to go to drama school. I think you'll be fantastic. Now, I did not want to do this at all. Like, it just wasn't for me. None of my friends were in the drama club or school or whatever, you know, it just was never going to happen. And then my dad was like, well, you know, I'll use the nuclear option. I'll get you an N64 if you join the drama club. So I sat there and I just said it out loud again. I was like, if I join, you'll get me an N64. And he was like, yeah. So basically I said I'd join. And what I did for a period of 2.5 months, it must have been, every time drama club was on after school, I would go and hide in the library until it was time for my dad to pick me up. And then basically it got to a point where my dad just very kind of like sullenly said, you've never been, have you? You've not attended one drama club session. And I was like, no. And but I promised I'd get really good grades that year, which I did. And that's how I got an N64, which my dad's still never really forgiven me for. But it was the best, one of the best consoles I've ever
had. Did he buy you the console when you joined or after?
Oh no, just before because I think it was before the new school year started. So he messed up big time. Like, he already bought me the console. You know, I had Rogue Squadron. I had all the games. It was amazing. WWF, No Mercy, etc. And yeah, then I was supposed to start when school started. And I lied and used to hide in the library.
Well, I enjoyed like the 40% of that was like a Mike Lee film. Just sort of like, you know, Northern British stuff. That was like, you know, definitely added some colour, I'll be honest.
But yeah, it was good.
My parents were always pretty cool with letting me do what I wanted, but I really wanted to do drama. And if I'd ever had a problem with it, I would have been like, I'll give up the N64 if you let me go. So, you know, we are on very different paths.
My parents were always the type to try and dangle a carrot and be like, well, if you do this, you could get this. And then I'd be like, okay, maybe I will dig up earth for 2 days in the garden. Yeah, I think I did that for Metal Gear Solid 2. Like 3.5 days of gardening got me that game. These are my memories.
Was this a case of like, could you do it quickly and then could you never dig up the garden again for some reason we won't tell you? Just, you know, like dig a hole about 6 foot and we're just going to pave over it. Don't worry about that.
I was quite consistent with the physical labour activities that my mum and dad clearly used me and my brother for as like child labour for games, but it was great.
You are so lucky that your parents didn't go when they found out you hadn't gone. She's like, no, you don't have an N64 anymore.
Oh, do you understand how terrified I was? That console to me was everything. And yeah. I remember being sat in my dad's car and just pleading with him that, like, I know I've done wrong. I know I've lied to your face. I know I'm scum. But I will work really hard this year. And to be honest, that was probably the best year I did academically, just because I could not lose that console. And I felt bad. I did feel bad, but at the same time, I didn't, because the N64 was great.
And you did all that digging, only to find out that Raiden was the main character of Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't make the blisters on my hands worth it.
Okay. All right, let's bring it back to the present now. The first impressions of the Nintendo Switch are out, the Switch OLED, sorry. And as you can gather from a console that's essentially a new screen, the screen is quite good. That's the main thing. The kickstand is better. It's no longer shit, apparently, which is, you know, it goes backwards and forwards nicely. But apart from that, it's basically the same with a better screen. Is that fair?
That is pretty fair. And that's what kind of makes it disappointing, because as much as I love OLED technology, and it was great on the Vita, and I have an OLED TV, which I mentioned earlier, the games are going to look amazing, more vibrant, more colourful, better contrast. You'll be able to play it in the dark better because it won't be lit by a backlit screen. But I did jump on my Switch the other day and I thought, oh, I'll download some third-party games like Immortals Fenyx Rising and certain games that have been just released on the PS5, PS4 and stuff. And the performance and the resolution and just everything going on, it's really, really creaking now. It's, you know, this isn't a spring chicken of a console. It just needed a little bit more horsepower to just give it that boost again, because it just wasn't an enjoyable experience. And yes, Nintendo games on it run and look fantastic still. There is that. But I've realized now as I've got older, I love having a Nintendo console. I get every one without fail, but it would be nice to be able to play other games rather than just first-party stuff on a Nintendo machine.
You used to work at Nintendo, so let's carry on this.
I did.
So, and you said you got to see the early Switch in the early days.
Yes, so I remember, so I started a month before the Switch launch and they handed me a dev kit and I played a game of 1-2 Switch, which was the party game, which should have been a pack-in, but it wasn't. And I straight away, I knew... To be honest, I knew from the reveal advert, which I saw before I started, that the Switch was going to be a hit, because unlike the Wii U, it was immediately obvious what this thing was. The name was great, the logo was great, even the noise it makes, the Switch noise. They'd got away from the whole like family focus advertising. It was more like, you know, young teens and 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, and it just made sense straight away. And then when I had it in my hand, the screen looked really nice. The quality of the hardware really surprised me, especially coming from the like Fisher-Price Wii U gamepad. With its glossy plastic. But I remember when we all on the team went and bought our Switches, because Nintendo had a little store inside its Frankfurt office where you got discount and we could get like, you know, Amiibo and stuff like that. And immediately we were like, oh, let's add each other as friends. And literally all of us, despite marketing and working at Nintendo, couldn't believe the fact that we'd gone back to friend codes. because the Wii U left that behind. Same with the 3DS. And then we were all like, we haven't gone back to friends. And I remember we were all kind of freaking out, like trying to find out more information about it, saying, oh, maybe it's just a temporary thing. And I think even Reggie VMA at the time said it might just have been a temporary thing. It wasn't. And it's those kind of decisions that Nintendo always make that just cannot help but frustrate you, even when you're like, yeah, in the hubbub of Nintendo. People at Nintendo get frustrated with Nintendo. I think people need to hear that sometimes, but it is true. Yeah, very exciting time launching the Switch. Seeing the eShop grow into the horrible cesspit has become is depressing, because it was nice and clean and empty and quite fun at the start with snipper clips and games like that. But yeah, it does need a boost in power, which we didn't get.
So Cherie, who's going to actually buy the Switch OLED? Is it people that already got a Switch, or different people that haven't got one and are confused by OLED, or what?
I think people that go for OLED will go because they want the bigger screen. Their original Switch is on its last legs, and they don't know when the Switch Pro, the Pro to the Switch to unite them all will come out. So it's going to be between a rock and a hard place. This is like this is a 1.5 release that we like. It's kind of like Nintendo's take on a mid-gen release. So with Sony and Microsoft, when you get a mid-gen release, it's either more powerful or it's skinnier. Nintendo went with what the PS Vita did and gave you a bigger OLED screen, because they did it too. But the thing about the difference between the Vita and the Switch is that the Vita was already like the most powerful handheld out there. They really didn't need to put anything else under the battery. I am loath to play games like Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon, and Skyrim on the Switch, or Witcher 3, because Adam's right, it just chugs along. And it, like, while I like the idea of being able to carry along, take those games on a plane or on a train or wherever, if I'm in a car, like, I do not look forward to jaggies and stuttering. And that's why I think people were so excited about the Alienware UFO concept when it came out 2 years ago at CES, because, oh, finally a really a solid way to take PC games on the go and still have that high quality. People want to be able to legitimately play their games on the go, maybe not with a gaming laptop, I believe you should get a gaming laptop, but, you know, to say otherwise would be blasphemy. I think this is just a 1.5 release, and I think people that, A, have never gotten a Switch, or B, their Switch is about to conk out, that's who this is going to be targeting.
Okay. I think those people who do want that refresh, it's a real winner. I think that's what... And Nintendo doesn't need to worry about this. That's why it said the OLED model, right? Because it's not going to replace the Switch. It's not going to replace the Lite. We've now got three models, haven't we, Adam?
Yeah, exactly. They did confirm that to us when we reached out. And that kind of makes sense.
Didn't reach out, just spoke to them.
Didn't reach out. I know you hate that. That's why I always say it deliberately. Now I forgot. Yeah, and that's what makes the Switch OLED even more curious for me, because you only get the benefit of that OLED screen in handheld mode. So when it's docked, it's still the same as the original Switch, 1080p output. And if you want a handheld Switch, we have that. That's a Nintendo Switch Lite. And I know that's aimed more towards children, and it's cheaper and it's more colourful, but it's still odd that, yeah, as soon as you dock the Switch OLED, you lose basically all of its benefits. You lose the kickstand, you lose the screen, you lose the enhanced speakers. The only thing you keep is the 64 gigabytes of internal storage. And that's what also puts me off. I mean, if there was any sort of bump again, if it was docked, then maybe I'd go for it. But yeah, I'm one of these people who did play the Switch a lot in docked mode. I do like playing on my big TV. And yeah, it's just slightly disappointing. I feel like there's more they could have done. I understand why they haven't. The Switch is still selling gangbusters. It will continue to do so. But yeah, the amount of times I go out and buy a game for Switch at the moment is rare. And with stuff like Xbox Cloud streaming and gaming, that's something I've been getting into a lot recently. They've just upgraded the servers, so it's like Xbox Series X quality. And honestly, even though cloud gaming still isn't probably where it needs to be, for me, it's a better experience than the Switch now. Like, to the point where I've decided to upgrade my phone because my phone battery is actually what's stopping me from playing because it's super old. But yeah, I was playing like Yakuza Like a Dragon and playing Octopath Traveler, a game I actually own on Switch. And they run better technically because they are 60 FPS. They are 1080p, a lot of these games, and they can do more graphically. So I feel like it's a missed opportunity a little bit.
And finally, Samuel, are we going to get the 4K Switch? Or do you think it's never going to happen?
I think that if it was going to happen, it would have been this. I think a lot of the problem with the run-up to this announcement is that the information economy around it just kind of got out of hand. Like the rumor mill, you know, there are a few like Bloomberg stories on the on a more powerful Switch that I think that people would come to let shape their expectations. And, you know, like we're all kind of guilty. We're all part of this information economy. We like talking about this stuff and dissecting this stuff. Like I definitely wouldn't do any kind of finger pointing. It's fun to talk about this stuff for sure. But like whatever Nintendo decisions Nintendo made, like they've made this model that is basically just suitable for people whose Switch is about to conk out, like Shree says, or, you know, someone who doesn't have one yet. I think that the next upgrade of the Switch is just going to be the Switch 2. Like, I think that if you're going to see 4K visuals, you'll see it there. You'll see, like, you know, upgraded specs and stuff like that. I think that this kind of largely tallies with how Nintendo usually does stuff. I mean, there are very few new 3DS games that are exclusive to the newer versions of the 3DS, but generally speaking, it doesn't really do upgrades mid-generation to make the console more powerful. I think it would have made this console a bit of an outlier if it was a 4K Switch, a very different proposition. I think they're better off just delineating them and saying, maybe in like 2022 or 2023, this is the true Switch successor. This is where the upgrade is. I think that's just a bit neater than trying to deploy something that's a half measure and then probably releasing something more powerful in a couple of years anyway. So personally, I prefer the way they've done it.
Yeah, I'm just surprised they've kept the old Switch, to be honest. You know, given the fact it's been so hard to make them and get them out there, they would have just switched up the screen, $50 more, fine, off you go. Sort out the old one.
And I don't know why I'm surprised either, because I specifically remember I must have been in a meeting with you, Sam, at some point, and I remember even saying out loud, I wouldn't be surprised if it's just like a bare bones upgrade. They're not interested in 4K, and yet for some reason I got sucked into the, you know, the rumors and the leaks and everything.
Thinking, well, it makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, could it be? You know, your 4K TVs are now the standard. Why not? We've seen the mid-gen upgrades from Sony and Microsoft. That's maybe the new precedent, but no. Nintendo love to throw a curveball, and that's why I find a Nintendo Switch 2 such a fascinating concept as well, because to be honest, there is no guarantee, despite the Nintendo Switch being as successful as it has been, that Nintendo will be like, oh yeah, we'll just make a slightly better Switch, like a Switch 2. You wouldn't be surprised if Nintendo were like, nope, we're going back to a home console, nope, we've got a dedicated handheld again, or we've gone VR focused. You just don't know. They released a product which utilizes cardboard to make games. This is a company that, you know, are impossible to predict, and it's why on Tech Radar we have an article coming up where we ask the Magic 8 Ball, which is now in the Gadget Hall of Fame officially, what they'll do next, because your guess sometimes is as good as mine. Like, even after working there would be times where you'd come in and they'd tell you about a game that we were working on or we were going to talk about, and you just sit there half the time and be like, really, why? But that's what makes them so interesting.
It's true. Yeah, you can't predict them at all. I think that, like, we're bound to see many Nintendo successes and failures that we had as we have in the past, like forever. That's what the company will always be. It's part of their DNA. The Switch 2 seems like the logical thing to do, but then, you know, this is the company that made the Wii U, so you really just never know where it's gonna go.
Hey, don't talk bad about the Wii U. It was if we didn't have the Wii U, we wouldn't have the Switch. That's the only thing you can really say saving grace for it. But you're right, and I think, like Shiri mentioned, the more competition there is in that space of like a portable handheld powerful console, the more Nintendo will want to move away from it, because then that suddenly falls into the red ocean. Everyone's competing, everyone's got price, you know, they can beat them on price basically, and Nintendo will be like, you know what, you guys have missed a trick. It's back to motion controls. It's back to waggling a wand at the screen to make your characters move.
Please, but no,
we'll see.
Please no.
Yeah, please no, obviously, please no. But I'm excited. That's one thing. You, as exciting as a PS5 reveal is and the new Xbox Series X, you kind of know what you're going to get. You're going to get the power. You're going to get little bits of innovation here and there. And the design of the console is usually the most interesting thing. But with Nintendo, that first reveal trailer where they try and sell you on the concept and then they develop the software to capitalize on that technology is just, you can't beat it. as daft as it can be sometimes.
Okay, I think that covers it nicely. I feel like Nintendo probably will be here in another 20 years' time, still doing something crazy and, you know, watching other competitors fall by the wayside because Microsoft started doing like fridges that do Xbox and then getting them the wrong way around, so who knows. Right, final thing. We're going to do a game of Beeble Trends. Now, usually producer Matt does this for us and gives me the information that I just used for the game, but he hasn't done it this week, so I'm going to run it real time. And I found out just how badly he's been doing it.
Oh,
so usually with the game, usually with this game, we the idea is we have 10 or 8 different subjects from news stories throughout the week, and we compare which one's the most popular. So, you know, give out of 100, which is the most popular search you can have, down to 0, which is basically no one's looking, and we decide which one's got higher or lower search terms compared to the last. Makes perfect sense. However, I've often wondered how he's done this, and now I've been looking. What happens is when you type in, for instance, number one, which is Switch OLED, it will take, we capture the number in real time right now. So how many people are searching right now, or what number is it? And that'll tell us. It's based on how popular it was over the last 7 days. So if a big announcement happened 7 days ago, that would have been 100. That would be the most important time for it. And by now, it would have trickled right on down to very low. But if it's something else that's just happened like this second, it'll be sky high. So they're not really compared to each other. They're just compared to themselves over the course of a week. Didn't explain it very well, but that's the truth. So I'm going to start off with the Nintendo Switch OLED as the key term, because obviously we've talked about what's happened with it. But in terms of the news, it's Adam's story that Nintendo Switch OLED won't fix potential Joy-Con issues, because the Joy-Con drift has been a thing for ages and Nintendo could have fixed it with this, but they're like, nah, not going to bother. And why would it? So out of 100, how popular is the Nintendo Switch currently over the course of the last week? Out of 100.
38.
45. 70. No, it's 10. 10. It was really popular the 7th of July, but now, no longer. No one gives a shit anymore.
That makes sense.
Exactly, right? So it's game over for the old, for the Switch. Basically what we worked out. Right, next up.
Nintendoomed.
Ah, well done. You've never heard that before. this is getting more confusing for you. Super Mario. Super Mario is a term. Now, the reason for this one is that there's a Tag Heuer Super Mario smartwatch, which costs the same as 6 Nintendo Switch OLEDs that's just been released.
Oh, my God.
So over the course of the last week, how popular is Super Mario? Is it more popular or less popular than the 10 of the Nintendo Switch OLED at this point in time?
More popular.
More popular.
Yep, it is 39. It's really weird. It goes up and down every day. Up and down. Everyone's like, it peaks every evening. It's like, let's search for Super Mario. Let's see what's going on. That's a very cyclical point there. Right, so that one was, let's remember the number. It was 39. Can you come doing this in real time? Really works well, doesn't it? Next up is going to be the Galaxy S22 smartphone for all those smartphone fans out there. Why is that? Because they're released in crazy camera specs have been rumoured. That's been the big story this week. What is crazy about it? Maybe a 200 megapixel camera.
Ooh.
A pentalens camera might be in the works. But is that more popular or less popular than the 38, I think it was, of the Super Mario at this point in time? Galaxy S22.
A bit less popular.
I think it might be more.
Sure, you're right. It's 73. Basically, every day, every second, people are searching roughly the same amount for Galaxy S22. There's no up and down. They're like, what's happening? I need to know right now. Right this second. Tell me. So everyone's very excited about that one. So 73. Next up, Hogwarts Legacy, which is the game based on, obviously, as you can imagine, Harry Potter. What's happened with that this week, you might ask? Well, it could feature the Dark Arts and the Killing Curse. Adam, can you explain to me why that's a problem? I feel like that's a key part of the world anyway.
My knowledge on Harry Potter is that he's a Potter and he builds phases. I have no idea. I read like 2 of the books, but I couldn't tell you anything about... Well, I don't know what Killing Curse or Dark Arts is or anything. Should I know this? Is the Killing Curse bad? It sounds bad in Harry Potter world.
It kills people.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
Bad stuff. Okay, so at this point in time, over the last week, how popular how popular is Hogwarts Legacy? Is it the most popular it's ever been? Is it 100? Is it like no one cares compared to early in the week? It could be 0. Where are we at?
Low, I think.
I think lower.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 46. And a big
piece. That's quite high still.
Yeah, well, you know, in the middle of the week on the 10th, that's when it was at its highest at 11 o'clock UK time. Don't know what happened then. But now it's down, halfway down that now. Next up, now this is a big one for you, Samuel. It's Loki.
Right, this has to be 100 because I literally have an article on the website right now that's doing really well with Loki in the headline. So it's got to be 100.
So is it more popular than Hogwarts Legacy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Adam, are you agreeing?
Yeah, absolutely. Everyone loves Marvel, don't they? Apparently, everyone.
Well, unfortunately for you, Samuel, you missed the boat by 4 or 5 hours. 9 o'clock this morning, it was 100, but now it's down to Poxy 74.
Oh, man. Okay. RIP, me and my knowledge of how the internet works.
Well, you know, just basically, it's an hour-by-hour thing. You've got to really, you know, you've got to keep on top of this.
Evidently.
So TikTok, you know, the social network that inexplicably sponsored the Euros this year for the football. I'm not sure why, but it wants to appeal to an audience of people who didn't understand what it was. It's coming to Fire TV sticks, along with a few changes. You know, why not put TikTok on an Amazon Fire TV? There's definitely a strategy on here that people aren't noticing. But at this time, 2 o'clock BST, we are recording. How popular is TikTok out of 100? Is it the most popular? Is it any time during the week or is it at the lowest? Given that we had 74 for Loki before, is it lower than 74?
Lower.
Yeah, it's got a peak on US hours, right? So, like, probably, I don't know, about 2 hours from now, I reckon it would peak. So, yeah, lower.
Yeah, lower then.
Samuel, 2 hours from now, it would be lower, actually. It is lower. It's 63, you're right, but it absolutely peaks at midnight in New York. That's when everyone's doing their TikToking. Apparently. So I was like, I need to check out what's going on there.
Sounds about right.
This has turned into basically some stat analysis for me, really, just getting involved with everything.
It feels like work.
2 more to go before we can finish this. Yeah, exactly. PS5, Android 12 will bring a popular PS5 feature to your Android phones. Can you guess what kind of key feature that would be? Assuming you've all read the news. No?
Is it user controller?
No, it's a play as you download. So as you keep going, you can play the game while it's still coming down, which is actually really unpopular, which is really important for phones. It could be really useful. Android 12 will allow you to do that. But the keyword here is PS5. So over the course of the last week, at this point in time, how popular is that compared to the, what was it, 63 or 64 of the TikTok? Is it higher or lower than TikTok?
Higher, I think, because there's been some stock bumps in the UK today. I imagine there's a lot of people searching for PS5 today.
Yeah, I'm going to say higher as well today.
Peer pressure wins.
So I think... The stock bumps thing is true; they do exist, but they happen about 11 o'clock our time, so they're about sort of earlier in the day for the US audience. So currently, we're down to just 71. You are right; it's still higher PS5, but it's a very flat curve, that one. Finally, iPhone 13. The production will outpace the iPhone 12 by 20%. Here's why: the answer is probably because we've got COVID, so it's much easier to do. But iPhone 13, right in the second, how popular is it out of 100? Which is where it could peak. And nothing if no one cares.
I think it's got to be on the high end. I think this is around the peak for the day.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that. People are just as hungry for Samsung news as they are for iPhone news. Yeah.
Interesting. No, it's 61. It's basically right down the middle there.
Oh.
Right down the middle. Also, I realised I've been reading this wrong the whole time as well. So it's not the height of the whole week. It's the height of how popular it's been ever. That's the thing, how popular it's been ever.
The real metagame of Beevil Trends is that no one knows what the game is. That's
This has been fun. So basically, everyone's won. I'm really proud of you all. Well done.
Great participation. I appreciate it.
Cool. Well, that's the end of the Noise Cancelling Podcast this week. And actually, for a few weeks as well, we're going on a little bit of a hiatus until we're going to be bringing this format back in October. So do stay subscribed. You will get us popping back in again. But we'll be back with a slightly tweaked and rejigged format. But all the people you know and love will still be here, me and Sheree especially. We'll try and get Sheree back singing.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, but it hasn't happened. So Sheree, for the final time for a little while, how can people get in contact with you and have you had fun?
Parting is such sweet sorrow. It's been such a great time doing this podcast. Can't wait to come back in October, which... coincidentally enough is when my birthday is, so hopefully there will be birthday things for me. But as always, you can find me on Twitter, and I officially am verified. I'm official, y'all, on Twitter at and Instagram at Miss Smith 11. That is M-I-S-S Smith 11. 3 S is not 2, not 4, but 3. And for all things laptops and things I don't believe in, like tablets and Chromebooks and things I do dearly love, like VR headsets and headphones and routers and things of that nature and monitors, you absolutely positively have to come to Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, and laptop forever.
And have you had fun?
Always, all the time.
Samuel, how about you?
Yeah, people can find me at Samuel W. Roberts on Twitter, and I write entertainment stuff on TechRadar. If you go to the little nav bar, there's a little drop down, click entertainment, you'll see the stuff my channel was working on. Bit of a softer sell than Cherie there. I like Cherie sell a bit more, but you know, it's the best I can do because I ate a lot of falafel earlier. So yeah.
Are we pre or post exercise bike today?
I used it this morning. I'm going to use it later today because last night I didn't use it at all. Getting too granular about this, but you know, just give me an update on my schedule.
Thanks very much. Adam, how about you?
You can find me on Twitter. I'm also verified. They seem to be letting anyone in, but mine's at It's Mr. Products. And you can also follow my dog on Instagram. She's a Shiba Inu. She's cute. At Lily the Sheep Pup. She's amazing. Go check her out. And if you want to read what I do and the reason I'm even on this podcast, please head to TechRadar and check out the gaming section, where you can find some fantastic gaming news, opinions, reviews, and hardware reviews as well.
And I've been Gareth Beavis, probably will continue to be for the foreseeable future, and I'm Super Beav at Twitter. I've been verified for ages, guys. Like, it wasn't even hard. I did it ages ago, yeah.
Someone did it for me, easy.
People know me. Yeah, I don't remember it happening. I think I submitted a list for someone else. But yeah, so do check out Super Beav. I tweet relatively irregularly, if I'll be honest. But TechRadar, all the socials, TechRadar Instagram, TechRadar Facebook, TechRadar Twitter. That's where we do the stuff. And you should come and listen to it and subscribe to it and do all the things with it. YouTube, that's happening as well. So please do subscribe to all those things. And like I said, do subscribe to this podcast still. We will be back. This is not the end by a long way. We just need to take some time and do some rejigging. But thank you to all our listeners who have hopefully enjoyed it. We tried to get a way to contact us, but Cherie wouldn't find out the password for the email. So that didn't make any sense, did it? So there you go. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll speak to you all pretty soon. Bye.
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 Goodbye.